Much of marriage counseling simply exists to emasculate husbands into being obedient puppies. Generally speaking, I try to avoid couples counseling. Sometimes you can't, but whenever I can, I prefer just working with the husband one-on-one. I posted that tweet a couple months ago and it got a lot of attention, so I thought on this episode of This Is Foster, I would explain my approach to couples counseling. I like to take what I call a solution-focused approach as opposed to a problem-focused approach when it comes to couples marriage counseling. And it can also be applied without a counselor. Problem-focused is where I say what seems to be the problem, and then you respond by walking me through your individual interpretation of the intentions of your spouse behind particular actions or inactions in the past. So the problem with this is that it turns the counseling time into really a courtroom time, right? So there's two particular problems. It frames the conversation around an attack, blame, defend cycle. A person can only actively listen for about 10 seconds in a contentious conversation. After that, their mind will immediately start preparing for a rebuttal. That's a waste of everyone's time. It keeps you where you're at, and you have to change it up. You have to make it less a courtroom and more of a workshop. The problem-focused approach also makes the pastor, or at least me, into something that I'd rather not be. In that scenario, the married couple presents you their case, and then you become a judge who hands out rulings. Undoubtedly, this will make one of the spouses feel ganged up on, and they'll shut down or look for someone else to take their side elsewhere. I find that the problem-focused approach is actually counterproductive. It actually pulls the husband and wife apart. It drives a wedge between them and makes them resent each other all the more and look for counselors to support their side. A solution focus takes the side of the marriage, not the individual. It's less focus on how the spouses have failed each other in the past and more focus on how they as a individual can take responsibility for improving their marriage as they move forward. So let me run you through how I start my marriage counseling sessions. It always starts with a couple questions. I say, what is your vision for a happier marriage? A month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. Describe it in what it is as opposed to what it isn't terms. Imagine what a week looks like in that happier marriage. Write it down. What do the mornings, evenings, weekends look like? What projects are you and your spouse working on together? It's a hard question, but it is the question you need to be able to answer. You can't just stop doing bad things. You must turn from and turn to. You have to have a positive vision for where you want to go. No one is a mind reader. Unmet expectations are often unspoken expectations or spoken in such a way that they go unheard. So let me slightly diverge to some notes on communication. First, are you minimizing or maximizing? Most marriage problems are rooted in emotional responses to forms of communication. In arguments, it's common to have one spouse play the role of a maximizer and the other as a minimizer. The role can be an issue of the individual's temperament, but often it's tied to a particular argument. They'll minimize in one argument, but maximize in another. The maximizer will emotionally overwhelm the minimizer by stressing all the negatives of the situation and catastrophizing the possible outcomes if a solution isn't immediately arrived at. The minimizer will emotionally frustrate the maximizer by downplaying their concerns regarding the situation and will come across as disengaged. If both spouses remain in these roles, the argument will end in deadlock. No ground will be made. Tension will remain, even if it subsides underneath the surface. Once you realize that you're minimizing, you need to stop downplaying their emotional response and instead verbally acknowledge how they are feeling without matching their intensity. For example, you're frustrated and worried about our health, finances, children, etc. I'm here for us. I want you to feel safe and at peace. Once you realize that you're maximizing, you need to turn down the intensity and verbally acknowledge some of the positive things about your spouse. For example, I know you are working hard and things aren't as hopeless as they feel. Minimizers need to up their emotional involvement in the situation. Maximizers need to tone down their emotional response to the situation. You are the only one who can control your emotions. It's your responsibility. If you correct and control your emotions, it will help create space for your spouse to more easily correct and control their emotions. So, second, are you hearing or listening? A lot of arguments are about one thing on the surface and another at their core. If you learn to not just hear, but actively listen, you'll grow in identifying the underlying issues needing to be addressed. Remember that under all spousal criticism is an unmet hope or longing. I know that sounds like softy psychobabble, so let me give you some examples of what I mean. Her being fuming mad that you didn't take out the trash for the fourth week in a row when you said you would isn't just about trash. It's about you being a man who gets things done. It's about you being a man of your word. She dreamed of being married to a respectable man. Him being cold towards you because when he came home, you kept scrolling on social media instead of giving him a hug isn't just about social media. It's about you being excited to see him. It's about you desiring him and being thankful that he works hard. He dreamed of being married to a woman who respects him. You need to start to think about criticism a little deeper than just sin. Criticism, as painful as it can be, is the hood you have to lift up to get to the deeper problems within a relationship. Finding the specific underlying issue can be tricky. It might be simpler to start by figuring out the general category the issue falls into. Most arguments fit into three main categories. First, a struggle for power or control. Second, a disagreement about closeness or care. Third, a clash over respect or recognition. Now let's get back to your vision for a happier marriage. Here are some steps to consider. Write down your vision of a happier marriage and share it with your spouse. Recognize your role in an argument to avoid getting stuck in deadlock. Listen to criticism and try to uncover the root problems. Finally, as you work towards a shared vision of a happier marriage, ask yourselves these questions. What can I do as an individual to improve our marriage? What is one small thing I can start doing immediately to move in that direction? And what are some of the things that I am doing wrong? So that's what I walk couples through. That's if I have to meet with them together, this is what I always do. And if they can't come up with a happier vision for their marriage, I tell them to go home and to work on it. And then we'll meet again when they've figured that out. And the purpose here is to apply biblical commandments on how you communicate to see if they have any vision for the future, especially the man, and to move it past just accusations and judgments towards actually building something together. So I hope that's helpful. This one's a little more practical. I know it's not rooted in any particular Bible text, but I do think this is the consequence of biblical principles. So until next time, don't just be hearers of the Word of God, but be doers of the Word of God. I'm Michael Foster, and I appreciate you listening to this podcast. The best way you can help us is by leaving a rating or a review or sharing it with a friend.